Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. What does Jesus teach about money? On today's program, we continue our series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, with Dr. John Neufeld, covering an important topic for all of us. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24, as we study a message on wise financial management.
Listen again to the words of Jesus in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's be clear about what Jesus is saying. Find out where your heart is invested. Find out what you love the most. And then surprise, surprise, you will find that this is the very place where you have invested your money. Your heart's investment and your financial investments always line up exactly. I was mentioning a very popular Canadian television program featuring financial investments in which the star of the program constantly said, "It's about the money." For followers of Jesus, it's never about the money. It's about Jesus. It's about His gospel. It's about the advancement of the kingdom of heaven. Now to verses 22 to 23. Here we have an image, an analogy. The eye is the lamp of the body. But what does that mean? I know this is a very different image than we're used to, but think about it. Imagine your eye as a lamp, and imagine the inside of your body as a dark place, a cave, for instance. If the lamp works, it will light the inside of your dark body. Because you have light, the body can direct itself and can avoid stumbling and falling in ruin. But if the lamp doesn't work well, then the body is left in darkness, and it can be headed for disaster, and that's the image. So if your heart is set on earthly treasure, you're like a blind man stumbling forward, not recognizing the disaster that lies ahead. But if your heart is set on heavenly treasure, you're like a seeing man, able to discern what's out there and make good decisions. That's the analogy. So at the outset, Jesus is encouraging us to make good investments, investments in heaven. But he then adds, all this depends on whether or not you can see the value of the heavenly investment. If you are blind to the value of heavenly investments, you will never make investments there. You see, perspective, it's everything. How clearly do you see the long term? How clearly do you see the long-term consequences of everyday choices that you make when it comes to your money? How many of us see that we are now making investments either in a world that is fading away or in a world that's eternal? If we can't see this, how great is the darkness we live in? Now to verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, this verse is perhaps the least believed verse in the entire Bible. Two reasons for that. The first is that we're serving a master. It may be God or it may be money, but it is servitude. And the second is that we are not in leadership in our lives. We are in servitude. I know it's hard to fathom because we think that money is serving us. Of course, we don't think that about God. We think we're serving Him. But the idea that we might be in slavery to money is an idea that almost everyone rejects. We might see it in some extreme cases, but it's certainly not true of us, we tell ourselves. I would bet today that there are precious few who would argue, I'm enslaved to money. I mean, contrast that to drugs or sex or bad habits. A lot of people say, I'm mastered by alcohol or pornography or violence. Well, you name it. But I'm mastered by money and can't get free? Well, I've never heard anyone say that. See, but that doesn't mean it's not true. It only means we're blind to our own servitude. Now, I suspect most of us will fall into two categories here, or one of two categories here. Some of us will say, this is about the rich with their expensive toys. Good on you, Jesus. Go and get them. But you're not worried. This is about others. The other is the view that really, Jesus is not addressing riches at all, only our attitude to them. And you also assume you can have riches, but you just have to have the right attitude. What we seem to forget is that this text is really about serving the right master, for you can only have one master. What Jesus doesn't want is for you to discount him, but to take him very seriously. Since God and money are not our employers, but our slave masters, there should be a way of testing, whom am I serving? See, this is not an exercise in engaging how large or small our bank account is, but rather where our heart is. So how do we find that out? Well, I'm going to give a series of five tests or five questions that demand answers. Here's question number one. What are your commitments? So for instance, what's the difference between your job and your faith? I mean, when you're tired or lacking enthusiasm, which do you skip? Well, you might say, I can't skip my work. It's my livelihood. Yeah, that's the issue. What do you see as essential and what do you see as not essential? Be honest. Identify which things in your life demand your full commitment and which are the things that you play at, meaning that you can leave them at any time. That's where your heart is. Okay, that was tough. Let's move forward. Question number two. What's your attitude towards giving? When it comes to giving to the Lord, what is it that you offer Him? Is it your first fruit or is it your leftover? See, when you give your first fruit, you give Him your best. And when you give your leftovers, you give what's left over. Where's your heart? Wow. Question two was tough. Let's get tougher. Question three. What's your attitude toward buying? When you buy something, and we all need to buy things, is your first question, can I afford this? Or is your first question, does it bring glory to God? Now, that one challenges all of us. See, some of us just can't stop buying because we're addicted to the world's things. Your indebtedness is growing because you can't stop spending and wanting. See, you love this world. What's your attitude to buying? Does it not show us where our heart is? Now, here's the next question. Question number four. What's your attitude towards saving? See, please notice that saving can be good or it can be evil. You can be saving to be wise regarding retirement or of expenses and other things that you can see coming up in the future. That's simply called wise financial management of God's resources in your life. But what if you're saving and you don't know how much you need? For instance, for retirement, how much do you need? Why do you need that much? Will it glorify God? Let's say you can answer those questions, and indeed it is glorifying to God. That's good. But let's say that you never have enough. There is no number that you have in mind. All you have in mind is an ever larger pile. You see, you can't seem to have enough, and so you're constantly striving to get more. Your treasure is therefore in this earth. What if Jesus asked you to give it all away? Could you do it? Now, one final question. What's your attitude toward the morality of money? So let me ask you, if money is involved in a moral decision, does the presence of money make your decision harder or easier? What if doing the right thing costs you not just a few dollars, like declaring what you purchased when you crossed the border or declaring what you earned when you fill out your taxes? But what if doing the right thing was going to cost you perhaps as much as one half of all you presently own? Would you still do the right thing? Because if you wouldn't, your whole body is full of darkness. You're stumbling along, not knowing that you're going to lose 100% of all you have. Listen, don't you see you have a master, and that master could be money? And if that master owns you, that's why you can't serve God. See, I once stood at the bedside of a dying man who told me he was going to make his fortune, and then he was going to serve God. And then he became very suddenly and unexpectedly ill. And as I stood beside his dying bed, tears of grief were flowing down his face. He told me, I've wasted everything. And now I'm going to stand before God, having served money all my life. You remember Lot? He invested in farmland around the Jordan. The land belonged to Abraham, but he bought it and lost it all. Remember Achan? He invested in a beautiful Babylonian robe and 5 pounds of silver and a wedge of gold. cost him his life. Remember Solomon? He invested in chariots and wives and political alliances and statues to foreign gods. It cost him the future of a kingdom. Remember Gehazi? He invested in 150 pounds of silver, and he was cursed with leprosy. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Yeah, the list is long and not short. So where's your heart? Only you can answer. But now Jesus has given you enough information that you will always know, and you can always turn to him.
It's clear that we are all called to be wise financial stewards of whatever God has given us, whether it is a lot or a little. But in our study, we have discovered that Jesus gets us to see the heart of the issue about money, which is examining where our hearts are invested. Do we have the right perspective? Are we serving God or money? These are tough questions, but they are critical to reflect in this discussion, because in a sense, it reveals something about our spiritual lives as well. I hope you enjoyed today's message, and be sure to listen again as Dr. Neufeld walks us through Matthew chapter 6 verses 25 to 34 in our series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. It's one of the most well-known parts of the Bible, and yet for many, even within the church, the Sermon on the Mount leaves people with more questions than answers. Well, in our series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, Dr. Neufeld has been helping us to unpack what Jesus really taught in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. We hope you have been blessed and encouraged by listening to these great teachings so far, as there is so much to learn about what it means to be a citizen of God's kingdom on earth. We hope you have been blessed. And now these timeless messages are available for you to own on a CD for just rupees 100, which includes shipping and handling. Listen and be inspired by Jesus' profound lessons about true faith and what it looks like. Don't miss this opportunity to grab your CD today by calling 9492-440070. That's 9492-440070. Or email us at info@backtothebible.in.